heart and soul of a nation, beckons the call. The voice of our forefathers heard in the distance.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
To reclaim our honor.
Our soul. The challenges of a generation call out. Future generations hang in the balance. We choose liberty. This is the voice of a nation. And now, Malcolm.
So I'm always thinking back to storytellers, you know, when you see a lot of these movies or books and, you know, and you see the storytellers in our country and they tell a unique story of something that might happen in the future. And it's pretty out there. And you think, well, gee, I'm not really sure if that will happen in my lifetime or not. And I always reference that because, you know, it's like right now you see some of the movies about Mars, right? You see there's a lot of programs out there about Mars. And I mean, these kind of interesting futuristic movies, but they're fascinating. And it really comes to present day life where someday we are going to be on Mars, I believe. And you watch a lot of these and you get a sense, okay, that could really happen. Now, dial back years ago when you were watching a lot of those futuristic movies and you've seen our cities and you've seen our barren wasteland type of looking cities, right? Right. And you see the criminal component in those cities, right? A lot of crime, a lot of criminals around, that sort of thing. And the quality of life had like decimated. And in those movies, like nobody goes to the city, right? Nobody wants to go to the city at that point because you put your own life at risk when you do that. Well, that's where I want to begin today and talk to you about this problem we're having. And it really is, our cities are in a lot of trouble. So I want to frame this debate today, this conversation, this discussion, saving America's cities. I want to talk about saving America's cities. How can we save America's cities? And there are some things we can do. And we all need to pay attention, and I'm telling you why. For those of you, or those of you who know friends, and let me phrase it that way, because the people who listen to this show are pretty bright and intellects, and probably not you people listen, but you know people like this when I phrase this way, is that, you know, some of these people, a lot of people actually go around in life, well, that like doesn't involve me. That's not like, you know, like they think that these things will never impact their life, or it's like, you know, the old saying, don't get involved in politics or politics gets involved in you. And it's like that with every aspect of life. These things do impact all of us. And I'm telling you right now, we're not just talking about America's cities, but we're talking about our suburban areas. We're talking about our rural areas, and we're talking about the quality of life. We're a connected community. Everything is going to impact all of us. That quality of life is so important. Now, here's what's happening. It really is the perfect storm, what's happened here. It couldn't be any more dire when it comes to, you know, if you sat down a year ago and you drew this out or you wrote a book like this, it really would be quite the book. But if you sat down and you drew this out or you started telling people you really thought this was going to happen in 2020, first of all, we were all thinking 2020 was going to be a fab year, remember? We thought, well, that's going to be like a great year, 2020, like we made it, right? Perfect vision. Here we are, man. Bring it on. But you think back about a year ago, and I have to tell you, you know, there ain't any of us who could have seen this train coming. There's nobody. Don't even begin to go there. Nobody ever seen this one coming. Not a year ago, people. It's not possible. Nobody knew this was all going to happen. Back in September 2019, not too long back, my fellow Americans, The Atlantic, yeah, that publication. Well, they had a story, why are America's three biggest metros shrinking, right? And they were talking about like New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago, right? And they were all seeing a lot of population decline. So let me give you an example. And they were calling it the metropolitan exodus, right? Well, yeah. So, and they referenced in that story, in 2018, the New York City area lost more than 100,000 people to other cities and suburbs, right? That's 277 people leaving every day. Can you imagine that? 277 people leaving every single day. and in Los Angeles had 201 leaving. And Chicago had 161 leaving. Every day, every single day, you just sit there, you know, get your bag of popcorn and sit there on the interstate and just watch them all leave, probably, right, from the interstate with the trucks and everything, right? I mean, that many every single day were leaving the state. It's pretty radical, actually, you think about it. But this is before COVID. This is before, you know, they were torching our cities. This is before the crime element increased greatly. This is before all this unrest happened and the whole Floyd incident and the Blake incident and, you know, before we had, you know, massive lockdowns. This is before the Democrat mayors and or the Marxist mayors is what I lovingly refer to them as, right? This is before all those people said, yeah, we'll lock. This is when the federal government locked us down for 2 weeks, supposedly, wink, wink. And then the mayors, the Marxist mayor said, yeah, we'll do that and we'll raise you five. We'll just keep the place locked down indefinitely until you're after office, out of office, Mr. President, in November, right? It sounds a little dramatic, I know, but it's actually what's happening is these mayors are keeping their places locked down. And you can wonder why. Well, it's not because of COVID specifically, although they're using that as the crutch. It's pretty sick, actually, when you think about it. And when you think about all the businesses that are being tagged and going out of business and that are in such duress and that'll never come back again, the livelihoods that have been lost. I mean, come on, people. I mean, what more is it going to take before we wake up? So you've got right now the perfect storm in America, right? Okay. That's tearing all of these cities apart. And we're not just talking those top cities. We're talking smaller cities of population as well. We had no idea that this virus from China was going to decimate our nation in ways that we could never imagine. I mean, and that it was going to be used as the biggest political tool. Let's call it weaponization, that they were going to weapon a virus to take us down. Yeah, that sounds a little harsh, I know, maybe to some of you, but probably not all of you. Most of you probably agree with me. But this is the pure definition of weaponization is what we're talking about. This defines it right at this very moment. So we're living in some really unusual times, to say the least. And they're beyond historical. They're game changing. That's what's going on here. Let's call it they're game changing. They're just not historical. They're changing the way we live life. And more than that, they're going to change the way our children and our grandchildren, those future generations, live. We're in a lot of trouble in our cities, and it worries me a great deal. It's been worrying me a long time, well before this chapter here in 2020. We were in trouble a year ago before all this happened. And a year ago, you know, we were still looking pretty good as a nation. We didn't have the kinds of problems we have right now. We had some problems, but economically, we were making historic numbers. President Trump had done a phenomenal job with the economy as a businessman, and there was a sense of confidence out there. And the entrepreneurial market was on fire, you know. But keep in mind now, these cities still have problems because these cities have been run into the ground for some time. And I'm going to suggest to you, easy, over the last 25 years, these cities have been run right into the ground. What really puzzles me is why the people in these cities keep electing the same kind of quality or lack of quality political leaders. I never understand that. I just, for the life of me, I do not get that program. I mean, shouldn't we expect more from political leaders? I mean, come on, people. Why would you elect people of this magnitude? Because why? Because your grandfather was of that party or something? I mean, that's insanity. So that's what I want to talk about today, saving America's cities. I'm going to lay it out here. We're going to talk about some of the problems, some of the issues, how we fix it, and try to come to some conclusion. And we'll do that with Professor Larry Bell and also Ilana Friedman. More on the Voice of the Nation just after the pause.
Our global experts are brilliant writers and engaging hosts on a mission of a lifetime. You'll find the latest news and inspiration on the front page of AmericaOutloud.com.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Listen to Malcolm, the Voice of a Nation, on iHeartRadio or our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa.
It doesn't naturally flow off your tongue when you say, yeah, great cities, you know, New York and Los Angeles, Chicago. And that's sad. That's sad. You know, growing up as a boy, we always used to think of those cities as being great. But again, there's a lot of components that have played into this now. But one of the biggest components, I think, is the governance in these cities. Everything has become on steroids now. And it's on steroids because of the insurrection that's happening in our cities, and also the this criminal component, of course, and the COVID, the virus, and all of that. And that's why you got like a 1-2. What I said to you the other day here, we were sucker punched once in the gut and once in the face. And I'm talking America. That's what's happened here. So anyways, let's bring on Ilana Friedman. Ilana's a veteran intelligence analyst, political commentator, host of the Friedman Report. I'm thinking, Ilana, the problems, there might be some new problems here, but as I read some of those reports and I started looking back, this thing has been building for 25 years. If there's any common denominator here, I mean, let's debate and argue this point. It's got to be the governing of these cities and markets, I'm thinking. What do you think?
Well, it's very interesting that people keep voting for and reelecting these clowns who are trying to run cities and doing it so badly. You see Los Angeles, San Francisco, Chicago, New York, they all have the same problem. Portland, Seattle, they all have the same problem. They're run by morons who think that their socialist agenda is going to create a utopia, and it's really going to create Venezuela. It's a disaster what they're doing. And you can see in New York, for example, what's happening. They had a new law there that they didn't have cash bail anymore. So criminals could go into the, do whatever they do on the street, get arrested, go in, get booked, and then release back on the street to do it again. This is a terrible situation. The cities are going into decline like we have never seen before.
Yeah, you're talking about the bail program, Ilana. I mean, yeah. What logic? Right. What logic would, I mean, think about the criminal, again, component. And I mean, where would the logic be for any leader to think, well, we're going to do this no cash bail, and we're just going to release these people out immediately. And they all know they're going to be out on the street the next morning. That defies every kind of logic for a safe environment, doesn't it?
It does, and they don't even stay overnight. They go in, they get booked, and they're released immediately. This is something, this encourages crime. And what we have in New York, for example, is that people are afraid to go out of their houses. They don't want to go out on the streets because somebody's going to, you know, give them a sucker punch or you know, who knows, or a knife jab. This is something so terrible. And it is astonishing to me that the people of New York would even consider voting for somebody like de Blasio to run their city into the ground, which is exactly what they're doing. And people, as much as they were leaving in September, the numbers are up hugely. If you drive through New York City now, you'll see piles of moving boxes on the sidewalk waiting for the moving trucks, and the moving trucks are lined up one behind the other. You can't believe it. Because if you drive down Fifth Avenue, you'll see that all of the fancy stores, the famous stores that people used to flock to New York to shop at, they're all boarded up, one after another after another. It looks like they're waiting for a hurricane. And it's just unbelievable that a city of the quality of New York, as wonderful as it has been, as it's been a magnet for tourists from all over the world for generations, and it is now a disaster. It's beyond understanding to me. I just don't get it.
The people in these cities, Ilana, that the residents, as you say, many of them do not want to even leave their homes and their businesses. And this is for the ones that are still there. I mean, listen, we've seen Governor Cuomo just recently, as COVID was running through there, but as they were coming to the other side of COVID, but begging New York, the millionaires, the New Yorkers, but the wealthy New Yorkers, Ilana, he was begging them, like, I'll buy you dinner. I'll make your dinner. Just come over. I'll pour your drink. I think he was offering them massages and everything else at that point. I'm not sure, but he was speaking. I mean, was that insanity? Have you ever seen anything like that from a governor?
No, but he's the one who drove them away in the first place. So I don't think he has much of an argument. This is a man who probably should be in prison for all the people that he was responsible for killing when he allowed, he required people with COVID to be readmitted to nursing homes where the population was so vulnerable. But it's not just New York, it's San Francisco, where the homeless have taken over the sidewalks, and now they're putting them in luxury hotels because they spent all these years, several years, with all the homeless population growing on the street, and they never did anything to find a solution to that problem. So now they're putting them in luxury hotels. It is, as you say, it is insanity, Malcolm. Yeah. It's something beyond which we just never imagined it could come to this.
Yeah.
Our wonderful, great cities are falling into disarray. And you take Las Vegas, Nevada, which is another situation which has been shut down by a socialist governor. Mm-hmm. Everything is gone. It was the convention center. It was the entertainment center. It was the gambling center. Nothing's going on there. The city is dying.
Yeah, let me bring on here, Ilana. Let's add to our conversation here, Professor Larry Bell, anxious to get his thoughts on a couple of things we just talked about. Professor Bell, he's an endowed professor of space architect at the University of Houston. He's an author. He's a great author. A lot of books. He's like Ilana. He's a thinker. And so, Larry, always good to have you. And I want to ask you, picking up where we are right now, in your lifetime. When we've gotten to this point now where we're at, which we call the perfect storm when you combine the unrest and the COVID with it. But again, the crumbling of these cities has been coming on for a very long time, I pointed out, at least 25 years. The common denominator of all these markets, I mean, let's get to the point, Larry, of talking about what is the common denominator? I mean, of all the cities and states, you know, Ilana just referenced the Marxist governor in these, she might have said it differently. I'm calling them Marxists. But what is the common denominator? Is they're all from sort of a different sort of political thinking. Are they not?
And from what the previous discussion was, I totally agree. I've written a lot about the issues of the perfect storm, which, of course, is COVID and work from home and the politics of that we've seen that have disproportionately hurt some cities more than others. But so the simple answer would seem to be, in many cases, well, let's change the politics. Let's change the politicians. Let's run the rascals out. Let's change that. But I'd like to go to a deeper theme, which is that safe cities from what? Because as we know and as we recognize, there's an exodus. But it's not only an exodus from something, it's an exodus to something. Okay. The people are leaving the cities to a different life because they're unable to do so because of telework and so on. And they're going to the suburbs and the rural areas, which have a very different kinds of attractions and benefits for them. So they're exiting partly out of, remorse and terror, and they're also exiting because the world has changed. So when we say saving the cities, I don't think it necessarily means saving them as they were yesterday. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be reinventing them, where perhaps we're being reinvented because of the internet and other forces. And the question is, saving them for what? How are we going to redefine them in ways that perhaps the politics will drive circumstances less than the benefits?
So a lot of this stuff, okay, possibly, Larry, would have happened prior, maybe over time, and the acceleration of, because of the telework, which you point out, and by the way, let me tell folks that there is an outstanding three-part series that Professor Larry Bell has on America Out Loud, and the overarching theme of it is, well, here, how and why an accelerating urban exodus is forever transforming America's economic and political landscape. But this last one, the third part in the series, you hit the nail on the head, and you really bring it all home, Larry, when you talk about progressive politics hasten the tragic demise of great American cities. So we're on that point right now of the common denominator is where I want to stay at the moment, talking about these progressive politics. Yeah, some of this was going to accelerate, and I mean, some of this was going to change over time already, but it has been accelerated for a lot of reasons. But I think a lot of these politicians are, and their decision-making has become very alarming and is driving these people out of the cities. So when you say, what will the cities look like in the future? Well, Larry, if they don't start embracing what that looks like, I mean, obviously people like all these governors, like Cuomo and Newsom and all of the governors in the very heavy, heavy blue states, they're waiting for after November to do anything. They just want to stay in lockdown mode to the detriment of all those citizens and people in these cities. I mean, isn't that pretty sick on its face, Larry?
Well, of course it is. And of course, the elections will pass, and hopefully COVID will pass as well. And so much, of course, rides on this election.
Let me stop there a minute. I want to ask you something. I want to come right back at you. Now, hold on that scenario, answer me this now, Larry. All right, so let's say President Trump has a landslide victory. I want to play both scenarios. I'm going to play this one with you, and I'm going to play Biden with Ilana. But let me play with you right now. Let's say Trump has a landslide victory. What do you think is going to happen to our cities after November at that point, please?
Well, if Trump wins, there will be, I think, the unleashing of the law and order issues that people care so much about in the suburbs, in the cities, in the country. And I think there's a great deal of pent up angst and so on that will be relieved to some degree, that law and order will, you know, the law and order sense of stability can resume. And so I think that will be very important. I think some of the issues of the HUD, putting high-density housing and rezoning suburban neighborhoods will alleviate a lot of issues and so on. So I think hopefully there will be some relief that the end of the world is not coming after all. On the other side of the coin, if Biden gets in, the response will be, as always with Democrats, let's raise taxes, let's bail out these cities that have always had the issues. Mm-hmm. We'll bail out Chicago, which has huge pension debts and so on.
Yeah.
And we will try to diffuse some of the backlash that can be expected on Antifa and Black Lives Matter and so on. But the taxing, mm-hmm. Taxes will be increased, which will exacerbate the problems in the city. You want to see greater mass migrations exodus out of the cities, because then of course the tax base will erode as those who can afford to leave the cities will leave the cities. So we're looking, I think, at really two opposite scenarios.
Okay, all right. But one thing I want you to clear up for me, that first scenario, if Trump has that big victory, do you see that many of these cities tipping over into chaos?
I think the horse is out of the barn. And a lot of the reasons that people are leaving cities are going to continue. I think as people move out, as
Yeah, but what I'm asking is this. You're avoiding what I'm asking is this. I hear what you're saying, but is the uprising, does it become more? Are people more, is the polarization too much? And is that criminal intent of the Antifa, the Black Lives Matter, all of these groups, is that going to just explode? And are we going to have, I mean, is there going to be major unrest in our cities, in your opinion, if Trump has a landslide victory in November? What do you think? Yes or no?
I think it will explode. And I think there'll be a backlash to it that will be rather destructive.
Thank you very much, Your Honor. You answered it right there. And I don't disagree with what you said, Larry, but the backlash is interesting. Hold on to that thought of the backlash, Larry. I want to come back to that, okay? Because that's interesting. We need to talk about what that backlash looks like. Ilana, I think people have to understand, and Larry puts it out there very well, as far as I can see, back to the Trump and Biden. So, because what's happening now is, all right, so we've got a Speaker of the House right this moment, Ilana, who is trying to push through another $3 or $4 trillion to save the bankrupting of these cities because of their piss poor financial makings of what they've done over many, many years. They are hurting badly. They are in the red and they're upside down backwards. And that's going to impact the quality of life without even COVID. COVID is just more on top of all of this, but they've been mismanaged. Is what nobody wants to talk about. Our media doesn't want to talk about it. Certainly the Socialist Democrats don't want to talk about it. And the Marxist mayors don't want to talk about it. So now they can blame it all on COVID. And so she's trying to get all this money through. The president's onto the game and the right. And they say, well, we ain't giving you all that free monopoly money of taxpayer money. We're already in the problems in the feds, upside down backwards here. But yet, you know, it's interesting because if Biden wins, Ilana, if that were to be happen, you would see, as Larry just said, I want everybody to understand, all those taxes get raised, all those tax corporate dollars that Trump had, you know, taken off the regulations and all of that nonsense to stimulate this historic economy would all go away. And now we'd be talking about, here you are. And now you've got all of that. And then who's going to come back to the cities at that point, Ilana, because we don't have any money?
Well, the problem in the cities, one of the problems in the cities, is the people who are leaving are the ones who pay the taxes. And once they leave, that tax base is going to erode. Now, what California is doing in Los Angeles, and I think it's the governor of California who says, you know, you want to leave the state? That's okay with me, but you're still going to have to pay these income taxes for another 10 years. Really? They're going to chase them wherever they go in order to do that. And there's a knee-jerk reaction that Democrats have that whatever the problem is, they solve it by raising taxes. And Joe Biden says that the first thing he's going to do when he gets to the White House is raise taxes, is cancel all of the tax benefits that President Trump has put in place, and he's going to take those all away, and then the next step is obviously to raise taxes. The problem is that this is their knee-jerk reaction, but it's not going to solve anything. It is going to destroy the economy of the United States, because you can't keep spending money that you don't have and then beat the people up with it, with new taxes. People are just gonna run out of money, and so is the government. And this country is gonna go downhill very, very fast, particularly if they put some of these programs in place like the Green New Deal and canceling out all of the, closing down all of the energy producers and so forth, which is a part of their agenda. So I don't see anything good coming from a Biden win, but that doesn't mean that people won't vote for him. They will, and they're going to vote for him in droves. And I don't understand that any more than I understand voting for somebody like de Blasio or Cuomo or Newsom or any of them. It doesn't make any sense to me but I think people are simply not understanding the economy, the economic issues and the social issues that they should be absolutely thinking about when they cast their ballots. Mm-hmm. So I think this is going to be a really bad situation if Biden wins. And if Trump wins, by the way, I think he's going to impose law and order, something he's been hesitating to do up to now. But there is an insurrection act that he can impose, with or without the approval of the governor. The governor does not have to request it if it becomes a threat to human life, which it is. And I think I think this is going to be a very, very pivotal election.
We're speaking of the 1807 Insurrection Act, which has been put in play before from recent presidents in modern time. It has been used. It was used in the Los Angeles riots for sure. It's one of the most recent times. But this would be a major use of that act, clearly. Now, the left, of course, will cry foul in a hot second, naturally. But it is potential, Alana, that that 1807 Insurrection Act could be, I mean, we could see that. I would say to you this, and what do you think about this? We could see possibly and potentially the biggest use of that act that we've ever seen in our nation after November 3rd, I would suggest, if Trump has a landslide victory. What I think might be really fascinating, and think about it in this terms, what Larry says as well, you know, and what you say is the cities are going to implode. I mean, the crime, I mean, the people, the angst of the far left is going to go crazy because they haven't put it down. The Antifa and the BLM, they're defending that way of life, the left is. So that's going to, they feel empowered right now. You see what just happened in Compton, out in Los Angeles County, where some reckless criminal murderer went up to a cop car and shot two cops right through the window. I mean, right there and brought daylight. They don't wait till the middle of the night anymore to act. You want to know what they're going to do in cities? They do a raid in broad daylight. These people are so emboldened. They're emboldened because of the political leadership that you've got in these positions. Clearly, and more of those people are going to be emboldened after November 3rd. So you see the problem. I think that Insurrection Act, Ilana, I think if he uses that, and I think he may have to, because We may have to, I mean, we're talking about some unprecedented uprisings, I think, after the 3rd. What do you think about that?
I think the Insurrection Act of 1807 is exactly what we need right now. And I want to tell you, I was in Los Angeles when the riots started, and I saw the fires, and I saw the rioting, and I saw the results of the rioting. I also saw the results of the president calling up the National Guard, and the riots were over. It was as simple as that. They went on for 6 days, and all of a sudden, they weren't going on anymore. The National Guard was there. They were keeping the peace, and they did the job they were supposed to do, and it made all the difference. Now, you know, Larry, you have talked about this rioting and this the destruction of the cities being a pandemic, and I think it is. And what that means is that this is not one city that's going to have to come under the Insurrection Act. There are many cities that should and will come under the Insurrection Act, because they all these riots have to be put down. But if they start in the main cities like Portland and Seattle and New York and Los Angeles, and those are the cities that need to be addressed first. And if they're addressed, it is possible that the other cities may die down as well. I'm not sure, because there's an awful lot of money flowing in to support these riots. So we'll have to see. But I really think that the use of the Insurrection Act is what's required. And I think it is the only thing that I can think of that is going to make a difference and end these riots.
And it's interesting that we're talking about that in the way that we are. And Larry, if there are two different scenarios here. I mean, so if, again, we're looking at, we're talking about the difference between a Biden victory and a Trump victory. And either way, the criminal element has been emboldened. I mean, that's already there. We're seeing that. So if the Biden victory is there, Larry, I think those people become even more emboldened, because now they realize they've got that sort of a politician in the White House who combined, remember, they have a unity task force with Bernie Sanders. And it's not just a theory or some sort of a contextual idea that of thoughts from some, you know, future scenario, that these Green New Deals and these socialist policies would be into play. I've seen the whole task force, the unity task force that Bernie Sanders held hands with Joe Biden and AOC and said, okay, let's do this thing. And that all plays to the point that the socialists have taken over, the Marxists have taken over a good portion of the Democrat Party. I mean, they really have. I think we could see, and you know, the other interesting thing to point to both of you on, I've been predicting this, but I think we're coming toward the end of the Democrat Party. And I have a feeling of that, just like the Whig Party went away. And I think it's interesting, as we get through this next election, no matter what happens, there's going to be great problems. I think everybody can predict it's not going to be smooth sailing after November election. What about you, Larry T? Is there any, I mean, let's think about this. Is there any possibility? I don't see them there being smooth sailing after November 3rd. I think no matter who wins, we're going to have a come to Jesus moment in this nation. Tell me I'm wrong, Larry.
I'd like to go back to a couple of points that you and Ilana both made on a couple of issues. One is on the crime issue. Many years ago, I headed a crime prevention program for Department of Justice, based out of Washington, D.C. And it looked at a demonstration program to look at causes of crimes in neighborhoods and commercial areas and so on. And we had a demonstration program. Actually, part of it was in Portland, Oregon, and part of it was in Minneapolis, following some issues that had occurred in the 70s, and particularly the Union Avenue corridor in Portland, where there had been a lot of damage to commercial properties and rioting and so on. The difference there was in that time was that as we looked at the crime statistics and crime issues, the people who were the big problems always lived in the neighborhood. They were local people, and they victimized local people. And what we're seeing today, of course, is the imported Antifa and so on, the groups that come in from afar. And they come in with malign intent. They come in for disruptive purposes, which when we now talk about insurrection, we're really talking about organizations, really crime organizations, that are causing havoc with no goal other than the havoc and other than to cause great strife and so on. They're nihilists, and it's a very different situation. So I think that in this case, we're really talking about organized organizations and well-funded organizations, and they're funded by misguided corporations that have been shamed and woked into providing huge amounts of support. I'd like to also go back to another point that Ilana made, I think was very good at, and she was talking about in Los Angeles, for example, the notion of California of, well, as people leave, we'll just follow them and tax them. I think the tax, the issue of the taxing Democrats will exacerbate the problem, because as Ilana mentioned, those who can afford to leave, who in other words support the tax base, are the ones that are leaving, and the response will be, let's chase the money. And I think that what will happen in large degree is that as people, for example, leave for the suburbs and rural areas, there'll be a push to annex the suburbs to make up for the lost tax base. And I think that under a Biden administration, that will become exacerbated. And we're going to see not only a population shift, but I think we're going to see a political demographic shift. And those of us who live in Texas and California and Florida and other states hope to hell that they don't import and export their politics to us.
All right, but answer my question. You didn't answer. Tell me I'm wrong. Your points are excellent, but when I mentioned after the election what's going to happen, what do you think about that? Am I wrong, or is that correct?
I think after the election, immediately after the election, of course, people are anticipating that there'll be a lot of organized unrest and there'll be rioting and so on.
No matter who wins, is that correct? No matter who wins, is that correct?
Depends on who. Oh, that will happen, of course, if Trump wins.
And hold on now. So we're all anticipating. You're anticipating, Ilana. You're anticipating. Everybody here in this call right now is anticipating Trump's victory, November, major unrest in our cities. We all agree on that, correct?
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
If that's the case, are we talking about martial law? Is that what we're speaking about now? Larry, you first.
It depends on the degree. It depends on if something happens and President Trump has said, if these incidents happen or these events happen, mm-hmm. we will put them down immediately and we'll it will be the end of the end of the end of the story. In that case, that would quench the fire before it spreads. If on the other hand that doesn't happen and we see it spreading and you know this spreading to cities throughout the country to the point that we have now an inferno like we're seeing in California with the forest fires, mm-hmm. that's a different scenario. So I think much has to do with how prompt and responsive that reaction is.
The response
needs to be immediate and it needs to be firm.
All right, immediate and firm. Ilana, martial law, does that happen?
I don't think so. I think it's going to be the Insurrection Act applied to certain local areas like cities like Minneapolis or New York and New York and Portland and so forth. But I want to call your attention to one other thing, and it's very important.
Please.
We may not know the results of the election for quite a long time, and that is going to make a difference as well.
Yeah, that is one hell of a point. That is an excellent point that Ilana points out. You know, I almost forgot about that for a moment, that there's nothing normal about this election, people, including the fact that we may not know the winner and probably won't on the evening of November 3rd. And certainly by the morning of the 4th, even with those last few states coming in because of what the left has propagated here with this mail-in universal ballot vote. If 80 million Americans or 100 have got these universal mail-in ballots all over the place and they're pulling them out of trash cans and backyard door alleys and God knows what else, or funeral homes for that matter, then I got news for you. They'll be finding these ballots in car trunks for weeks ahead after that. So that's a great point she brings up. We may not know what that is. But it's very interesting, the scenario we're faced with right now. And, let me do this. Let's take a quick pause. We'll come back. I've got a couple of interesting scenarios to throw at you all and bring this thing to a head as we talk about, again, saving America's cities and what that's going to take. More Voice of a Nation just after the pause.
What if a new treatment backed by 17,000 scientific articles was proven to extend our lifespan, protect against terrible diseases like cancer, heart disease, and dementia, make us more attractive and thinner, feel calmer and happier, and boost energy levels, memory, and performance? What would you pay for even the smallest dose of this treatment? Well, the good news is you don't have to pay anything, because these are just some of the benefits of a full night of quality sleep. If you're one of the millions of Americans who need better quality sleep, the time to change is now. Until now, most sleep aids haven't worked, but a new, easy-to-swallow sleep gel invented by the leading nutrition company, Healthy Cell, is designed to support all four stages of human sleep to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake up refreshed. It's called REM Sleep. To get a free two-night supply of REM Sleep, visit healthycell.com/sleep. That's healthy, healthycell.com/sleep.
The war on America's cities and claims of racism in the ranks of law enforcement have spirited a renewed debate on racial equality. It was Alexis de Tocqueville who reminded us Americans are so enamored of equality, they would rather be equal in slavery than unequal in freedom. To which I say, be warned of the shiny object, America. AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. Well, it's a fight for the soul of humanity.
The silent majority has spoken. We say, let the silent voices be heard. You can be the voice of change. Contact our producer at liberty@AmericaOutloud.com. liberty@AmericaOutloud.com.
It is going to be a game changer, no matter what happens. And with both sides, there are scenarios and pros and cons with both sides, as you can hear, with Trump and Biden. I'm talking about now for the future of the Republic. I'm talking about, because some of you people would say, Malcolm, how can you see a pro with Biden in there? I'm talking about the cities now, strictly today, of what's going to happen with those cities. And how do we get to that point in our country where we say, uncle, okay, we had enough. It's time now to reverse course. It's now time to change this thing around. It's now time to, you know, change it up. Try something different. Maybe stop electing Marxist mayors and governors. Oh, well, that would be a theory, wouldn't it? Maybe have people realize the consequences of their vote. And maybe that would be another theory we should look at, you know? Here's the thing. I think with Trump and with Biden here, with the cities, I think we've got to position ourselves. I think there's going to be unrest no matter what happens after November. And that's what we need to embrace ourselves for, or brace ourselves, because here's what's going to happen. Trump wins, your uprising is going to be tremendous, fast, and explosive. Sure, insurrection act of 1807, got it. But you know what? We may very well need martial law at that point. The left is going to scream bloody murder no matter what happens. I'm telling you now. But that could be the end of the Democrat Party I mentioned early on. And I'm not just saying that to you, but I think as more citizens and more people realize the damage here of what's been happened and the socialist marks over of that party, the takeover of that party, you may see, I'm going to tell you right now, people, you may see independents, moderates, and the JFK Democrats come together and say, you know what, we've had enough of this nonsense. And there you would birth another phoenix, would come from the ashes. Maybe they call it the Phoenix Party. I don't know. But I'm talking about bringing back real, I mean, Democrat values, liberal policy, but more central liberal, you know, to the left, but social programs. Okay, got it. You know, that sort of thing. But which is America is always more toward the center. That's why we always had the best debates in our nation. You know, it was right there. The Tip O'Neill days with Ronald Reagan, you know, that sort of thing. But we're kind of, you know, we're far from that today. So you've got that scenario there. But I think, you know, at some point you kind of, I guess the old saying, it's got to get worse before it gets better. That's what I'm trying to point out to you. Maybe if I'm not saying that properly, that's what I mean. The martial law component, it's significant, and it could happen, because at that point, you know, that's going to be that moment of friction. And, you know, we're a lot different today than we were in 1860s with the Civil War and with Abraham Lincoln. We're a totally different nation, a lot more in play now today. So it's not that kind of a civil war we're talking about here, you see. But the rule of law is in question. And of course, a Biden victory, I think the criminal component's going to be emboldened, and they're going to do more and really try to take the cities down because they're not listening anyways. And I think they're still going to have the unrest, and it's going to be a problem, and it's going to put them in a very precarious place. Now, let's rejoin here back with Ilana Friedman and Larry Bell back with us here, okay? So that's what I'm seeing here. I drew out for you there. Ilana, let's go right to here. I think both situations are going to – so when we talk about saving America's cities, you know, okay, sometimes you got to have a little pain. You got to take one, and then you start to fix things. The only way to save our cities is to start – we have to remove that – Marxist mentality, that political element of those local politicians that they are electing to those offices. And we've got to get through to the people who vote for those people in their cities, because Ilana, if they keep electing the same characters, whether it's Wheeler in Portland or Durkin in Seattle, or, you know, or Blasio, they're all crazy is what I'm saying. They're all whacked out. So unless you start to replace some of those, how do you fix the problem, Ilana?
That's exactly what you have to do. You do have to replace them. Unfortunately, de Blasio is not up for re-election anytime soon. He's already served his two terms and he's out after, but he still has a year to go. And that, so that, you know, there is no getting him out unless he is impeached. The election schedules are very disorderly in that some of the people that we're talking about now are not going to be facing election anytime soon. And if they don't retire voluntarily or impeached without their approval, we're not going to get rid of them so fast. So it's a problem, and getting rid of them is clearly the answer. But then you also have to reach the voters, as you say, and there has to be a very big push to reach these voters and show them, if they don't see it already, what has happened to the environment in which they live. It's going to be a long haul, I think. I don't think anything is going to happen overnight, but I do see that the Democrat Party is becoming more and more just ugly and evil.
Well, it's the Marxist component. It's that Marxist component that's taken it over, Alana.
I don't know any other way to say it. I see that when the Speaker of the House refuses to release a bill that is going to give relief to millions of Americans because she wants more.
That's right.
That is evil.
That's right. And penalizing Americans right now, people who need the relief money or the stimulus money, who legitimately have been out of work for months and months and months because their industry has been taken over by this COVID thing, or they're just unable to work for these kinds of real, I mean, these are decent people, and they're having to pay a price for this nonsense here. You know, I have to tell you, Larry, you look at what we're talking about right now, and I think as we now, you know, Alana says it's going to be a longer process. Well, it probably will be, because we're probably may not know the victor for some time. And there's a good part of this country that is not going to accept the victor. And they didn't in 2016 either. And now you see the rule of law is going to be questioned. And it's not going to be pretty, Larry, after election.
Yes, it's not going to be pretty. And the question, I think, is largely who is the we that's going to change things? And we understand, well, we is the electorate. And then you say, well, who drives the electorate? Well, one hand, we have the media attempting to drive the electorate in a very big way. And then we have the events of the day that are driving the electorate, that are feeding, you know, people are fearful and they're concerned about their jobs, their livelihood, their security, and so on. So I'd like to propose that there's two worst case, best case scenarios that in case Biden wins.
Okay, all right, please, go ahead.
One scenario is, of course, that in the past we've looked at the pendulum swinging back and forth. We say, well, hopefully, you know, we will get smarter and we'll realize that the Democrats and the politicals and the media are ruining things, and we need to have some return to sanity. So the pendulum will swing back. And how far back will it swing back? The other scenario is that this is a different time. This is a paradigm changer, where the pendulum, there's going to be, as you mentioned, Malcolm, an immediate conflagration. There'll be everything will go to hell in a handbasket, yeah. And the Democrat part and the country will wake up. And the Democrats will forever be displaced, and they'll go away, and life will be jolly. And I don't know which of these scenarios are going to prevail. I tend to think it's going to probably be the latter, that things have to get really, really bad,
right?
And they may get bad very fast before the public and really recognizes that we are in peril. Unless the situation changes, and that we're going to lose our country. And this is, I think, the story of this election.
Well, you said a lot there, Larry. That is excellent. Ilana, last word, but I mean, in peril, I mean, that people have to realize, and the danger has to be serious. And a lot of people, it seems, are already believing that. We talk about the silent majority often. And there are a lot of people, and certainly middle America, who understands the stakes right now, and the way Larry pulled out the scenarios there. I do believe we're witnessing a big change in the political landscape in our country. This is more than all, nobody's talking about this, but I am. And I've been talking about it for a while now. So just remember, you heard it here. I think we're witnessing the end of the Democrat Party, Ilana.
I am, one part of what I do is I look at the future and analyze what is most likely to happen. I've been doing it for many years. I think we're in a major state of flux. There is a silent majority that we're not hearing from, and that is in the heartland, in the places which are not in the big cities, where people are seeing life as it really is. And these may be the people who save America in the end.
Well, listen, big voices there. Ilana Friedman, Professor Larry Bell, it's a privilege to have both of them here. Interesting ideas as we're talking through these scenarios. This could happen, that could happen. But they all sort of have a common theme, or the fact of, you know, the pain factor that the country is going to have to endure, I believe, when we talk about things like the Insurrection Act or martial law in our nation. Now, listen, I am not a conspiracy guy. I just am not. I never have been. I think you should know that about me. But remember, and the closer you get to the truth, the more the left will point out and call you that. That is their game to argument all the time. And they do it, you know, consistently, the closer you get to the truth. So just don't forget that as well, please. But I do believe this historical moment we're in time, the pain that the country is enduring, it is very fascinating, because I said 2 years ago and a year ago, we were coming to a historical change in our country. And I've been predicting it. Of course, I did not predict COVID, people. And I did not predict this unrest to the degree that it is. But I could see the rest of the country, what was happening. I think you're witnessing the last days of the Democrat Party, certainly as we know them. I hope they are done. And I don't want a one-party government, by the way. I'm not interested in just a Republican Party. Absolutely not. I believe we need at least three political parties. Four would be fine as well. I think we need more than two. And I think we need to level the playing field on these political operatives and remove the power from Washington, D.C., and bring it back to the states and to the people. I think the government has gotten too big for its britches. And you're seeing an overload of that now. So listen, a lot more to talk about on all of this, but I think saving America's cities is doable. It's possible. We will get there, but we're going to have to put your seatbelt on real tight, because you're going to feel a jar in the car as it hits the intersection. Just don't go through the windshield, people, is what I recommend to you, because that's what's coming, I have to say to you. And sometimes, as they say in life and certainly in politics, it is what it is. Thank you again, my fellow Americans, for being on the mission. It's time to get involved and get loud.